Praise God, hallelujah. We're still studying the life of David. Last week, we dealt with his confident testimony. Last week, we talked about David having a testimony that while he was trying to convince the king and convince others that he could actually kill Goliath, he ended up giving some powerful testimonies. He ended up sharing with them how God had helped him to deliver his sheep from a bear with no weapons, just with his hands. And by the time he finished sharing his testimony, he convinced them. We took away so much from last week's lesson. I just want to mention some of the things that we learned last week. Last week, we saw the importance of testimony. We saw that David shared what God did for him and believed that that same God will do it again. Number two, we saw that David started small. That David was faithful in little, so God could allow him to do the great. And my question to us tonight is, are we just waiting for when the big things come, we'll come and show them the stuff we're made of? Or are we responsible? Are we being faithful in little things? When you are faithful in little things, then rest assured that God will give you the opportunity to do big ones. But you need to start small. Praise God. Tonight we are also talking about David, but what you want to consider today will be the power of God. The power of God. I want somebody to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and read us verses 38 and 39.
1 Samuel 17, 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off.
Thank you. Amen. So at first, nobody believed David. They judged him based on his external appearance. People stacked up his physical stature against Goliath, and they didn't believe in him. Finally, because of his testimony, because he spoke with such conviction, authority, faith, and power, he won the people over, including the king. They finally said, well, okay, you can go. We trust you. But they wanted to arm him with his armor. Saul's armor wasn't doing him any good. Hope you remember that Saul was the tallest, largest, biggest, and strongest of them all. He had all his armor and his weaponry, yet he was hiding from Goliath. He hadn't gone out to fight him. My question will be, if his armor wasn't going to give him victory, what made him think it would give David victory? I want you to begin to imagine David putting on those armor. David was a little man. And I want to believe that whatever they were putting on him swallowed him up. You can't tell me you wear the clothes of somebody who is much, much bigger than you. But what we read tonight shows us that David had enough wisdom to recognize that he wasn't going to war like that. David was able to tell them, I can't do this. Hear me well. We're not saying that the armor was a sin. But we're just saying that David was not familiar with it. And David realized that it wasn't going to protect him. David's faith was in God. So he had enough sense to say to them, I want to remove this thing. I can't wear this. So, can we just compare ourselves with David tonight? People may like to tell you how you are going to serve God. People may like to tell you what you are supposed to be doing. But at times, some of these people, there's no victory in their own lives. But they are very quick to tell you what to do. I would have thought that Saul would have been ashamed of himself. He was a military head of the Israelites. And Goliath has been coming up for 40 days now. And Saul kept hiding around. And now this small boy has decided to go and fight him. Saul was there trying to close him. But David couldn't walk in it. What has this got to do with us? Tell me. There are times people will give you advice. There are times people will tell you how to live your life, how to fight your battles. Can I plead with you tonight? Find out exactly what God wants you to do and stick with it. Don't be blown around because this one said try this. This one said wear this. This one said say this. No. They tried it with David. David knew that wasn't going to work. And what did he do? He told them, King, I've not proved this. I cannot wear this. So tonight, can we talk about David's strength? If his strength was not found in the ammunition, where was his strength? So for everybody on this Bible study line tonight, I just want to encourage you to become secure in the Lord and be able to hear from God. You need to know what God has asked you to do. You need to know what God is telling you in the now. I'm not asking you to go and analyze it to find out if it makes sense to you or it doesn't make sense to you. Your strength lies in knowing what God wants you to do and following it and doing it. David's strength wasn't in the armor. David's strength was not in the sword. David's strength was in his trust in God. Do you know that when Goliath saw David walk up towards him, just with a slingshot, that he laughed at him? The giant disdained him, even cursed him for coming out to him with sticks and stones. But I want to tell you tonight that Goliath did not recognize the power of God. I want to tell you that you are carrying the power of God. Even when people look down on you, even when people look down on you because you are a woman, because you are black, because you are short, because you are too tall, because you are too thin, because you are too fat, no matter when they disdain you, just know who you believe in. And know that because of the person you believe in, you can do all things. Let's continue. Let's read a little more. Let's take 1 Samuel chapter 17. We read 38 and 39. Let's read from 40 to 47. Shall somebody read?
Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel.
Hallelujah!
This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Hallelujah!
Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. What are we talking about tonight? The power of God. The first scripture we read, they tried to clothe David. David said, "I've not proved this. I can't walk in this." And he removed it. And I asked you a question. The owner of those things couldn't go to war. He was still hiding. But he thought that it could help David. So, you've seen how the war went. That David looked at this man. He didn't go empty-handed though. He went and picked 5 smooth stones. And if you like, call those smooth stones J-E-S-U-S. He picked 5 smooth stones. And there are a few other things he did. So when he came up, and Goliath looked down and saw him, Goliath was so disappointed. Is this the best that Israel can do? Is this not an insult, bringing a small boy here to face me? But Goliath didn't know what he was dealing with. Can I tell you tonight that David was a king, but the people around him did not know about it? Remember, this was the first thing he did after Samuel anointed him a king. So you could be the anointed king, but not the appointed king. So Saul didn't know that he was dealing with a king. Goliath didn't know that he was dealing with the king of Israel. So what am I up to tonight? There are so many things I want you to take away from here. The first one is that Goliath insulted David because of the things he could see physically. And I want to tell you tonight, let there be nothing that will make you have a low self-concept. Let there be nothing in your life that will make you feel inferior. Can I tell you what Goliath was doing is what they call trash talk. When people are about to maybe wrestle or something, or even boxing, they will start talking down on the other person. And you know what they are trying to achieve? Once they can put fear into you, they've succeeded. I want to say this tonight. It's not impossible that people will look down on you for so many reasons. Could be because of the color of your skin. It could be because of your sex. It could be because of your size. There are people who are ready to talk down on you. But the question is, it's in your hands to either allow it to cause you to get depressed or for you to brush it off because you know who you serve. In the scripture she read for us, verse 45 says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. What did I tell you in the morning? I told you that the key to the power of God is in his name. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And I know everybody on this line knows that the Lord of hosts is Jehovah Sabaoth. He could call him by name. The God of the armies of Israel, I come to you in his name. So we heard that this man, after cursing out David, and David told him, I'm coming to you in the name of the God of Israel. What did he do? He used his sling. He let the stone go, and the stone went straight to the forehead of this giant, and he fell. And something happened. Do you remember that David told him, today, I will take off your head? But yet, David didn't have a sword. Wouldn't that tell you that he knew what was going to happen? That he will use Goliath's own sword to kill Goliath. I wish the faith that we are reading in David will become our portion. Because we want to be like him. We want to be men and women that have the fear of God in us, that loves God so much that we could trust him. Even when the fight looks unequal, we'll still be ready to go. Because of something I know that you do not know. Let somebody research John 4:4 for us again today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Is it in your Bible?
John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
That's it. That's the end of the story. That was why David was able to kill Goliath. David realized that he that was in him is greater than he that was outside. Because Goliath was not a child of covenant, he was outside. So David realized that he that was in him is bigger than the one outside. And can I tell you tonight that you are a winner? Because the same power that David had, you have. The same anointing that David got, you got. Let me just explain it this way. David was already operating under the anointing of a king, but those around him did not recognize it. They didn't know about it. And I want to tell you tonight that you're also anointed and that you're also a king. Let's read Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6.
Revelation 1:6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. That scripture says that Christ has made us kings and priests. So I want you to realize that you are anointed. You are prepared to do warfare. Goliath was only looking on the physical. But the scripture says that what is in the inside is bigger than what is outside. Also read Revelation 5:10 for us. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10.
And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Praise God.
Praise God. So if you didn't know this before, take those scriptures down. Because actually, it's referring to you, it's talking about you, that you are a priest, that you are a king. How did David do it? David was carrying that anointing that people were not even seeing, but he knew he was an appointed king of Israel. Praise God. So, I truly want to believe that David killing Goliath was nothing short of supernatural. I cannot say here and tell you that he was a good marksman. I can't tell you he was perfect. I can't tell you he was average. But the truth is, it is possible that he just pulled the sling and the Holy Spirit directed it to the forehead of Goliath. I want to believe that God supernaturally directed that stone. But let's read the account we have in the scriptures. First Samuel chapter 17. Let somebody read 49 and 50.
And David, the Philistine moved closer to attack him.
What? Are you reading? 1 Samuel 17:49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You are going to war. There's no sword in your hand. But still you are telling the person, I will remove your head today. I will cut off your head. But yet, there was no sword in his hand. Doesn't that show you that David was ready to use Goliath's sword to kill Goliath? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to go ahead and summarize what we've said tonight and see if I could take over another topic. Today, I talked about the power of God. We saw that Saul's armor wasn't doing him any good. And what you are learning today, stick to what works for you. Not whatever you hear God tell another person. You start trying to do it. That instruction may be just for that person. Be able to hear God for yourself. Know what He wants you to do and stick to it. Saul had all his armor. He had all his weaponry. Yet he was still hiding. He hadn't gone out to fight Goliath. Make no mistake, he was the military head of Israel. And he was hiding for 40 days. He couldn't go. And my question to you will be, if the armor wasn't working for him, it didn't guarantee him victory, why did he think it would do that for David? So when people are giving you advice, you need to think it through. For David, the armor was burdensome. It was too heavy for him. He couldn't move. The issue is that David hadn't proved it. And what does that mean? He hadn't tried it before. He wasn't familiar with it. He wasn't used to it. So I want to say tonight that David was not trusting on physical things to overcome Goliath. His faith was in God, that God was going to give him victory. And in your warfare and in your battles, where is your faith? If you want to be like David, don't put your faith in what you see. There are people whose hope is only in their job. Their faith is in the money they've accumulated. Their faith is in their spouse. Their faith is in their children. David had his faith in God. Can I tell you that people may try to talk you out of serving God the way God wants you to serve Him? Be woman enough, be man enough to say, this is not working for me. There's no victory in these things you want me to use. And if God has spoken something to you, no matter how outlandish it sounds, stick to it. Somebody will consider David stupid to go to meet a giant twice his size with his shield, with his sword, with everything, his javelin, prepared, and you are going with stones and a sling. So I'm only saying, if God has spoken anything to you, take the step of faith. Do exactly what He has tried to tell you to do. Don't try to imitate another person's vision. Run your own race. Run your race on your own track. That's exactly what David did today. You need to become secure in the Lord. So secure that you can even hear God and know what God wants you to do. You should be able to know where your strength lies. David knew his strength would not be found in the armor or in a sword. David knew his strength could only be found in the God of Israel. Then, let's ask a little question tonight. Goliath made fun of David. He ridiculed him. My question to you will be, are there people laughing at you? Are there people who consider you stupid? Are there people who think you are wasting your time, wasting your money, wasting your life because you are serving God? They are not seeing what you are carrying. Just like Goliath had no idea that David was a king. They don't have an idea that you are a king. They don't have an idea that you are a priest. They don't have an idea that you are carrying the power of God, that you are carrying the anointing of the Almighty God. Tonight you read 1 John 4:4. He that is in you is greater than he that is outside. When people are bringing you down, when they disdain you, just take it that they're ignorant. They don't know about the power you have. They don't know about the anointing you received. We read some scriptures tonight. Mark them. Revelation 1:6, Revelation 5:10. Those scriptures say that you are a child of covenant. Those scriptures say you are anointed priest and king. Those scriptures say that if you are born again, you are a winner. That's what those scriptures are saying. David was an anointed king of Israel. The appointed king couldn't do anything. But the anointed king was the one that took off the head of Goliath. There are two other things I want you to notice in what David did. Number one, he ran to Goliath. He ran to the battle. This speaks about enthusiasm. This speaks about zeal. This speaks about you are doing warfare and you are still running to the battle because you know you already have the victory. Because you know that you are not alone. The scripture said tonight that David ran to the battle. He wasn't coming sluggishly. He wasn't coming like, who knows if this is where I'm going to die today. No. He knew what he was doing. And he knew why he ran to the battle. Number two, David spoke in faith. When he told him, I'm going to take off your head today. He knew very well he had no sword. But yet he knew that he was going to use a sword to cut his head. Any way you look at it, it was a statement of faith. And it paid off. And it worked. It worked for him. So let somebody read 1 Samuel. Chapter 17, I think we stopped at 49. Read 50 and 51.
So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled.
Praise God. That's the second lesson I want to tell you tonight. You need to finish the job. You need to finish the job. Don't settle for less. Anything that you remove its head is dead. David had to finish the job. David did not stop once Goliath was down. No. David continued and removed his head. Don't just resist the devil until you get some relief. Fight him until his work is totally destroyed. You need to pursue the blessings of God and defeat your enemy until he cannot rise again. Listen. You have to take the attitude that you are not taking half measures, that you are going to fight the devil and destroy him completely. That's the attitude of David. Once you cut the head of that problem you are fighting and hold it up for the whole world to see, all the other demons will begin to flee. If I could take you a little back to Exodus. Do you remember when Pharaoh decided to negotiate with Moses? He started off telling him, he said, you want to go and worship, you go. Let your men go. Leave your women, leave your children, leave your cattle. Moses said, we're not doing that. I said, okay, and if you want to take your wives, take them, but don't go far. Leave the animals. Moses said, no, we're not doing that. I'm not leaving a hoof behind. I'm taking our women, we're taking our children, we're taking all our animals, because we don't even know what we use to sacrifice unto our God. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you negotiating with the devil? Are you giving him part of you and taking some? If you are fighting the enemy, fight him until you cut off his head. And people around you will notice that you've had victory in that thing. You don't compromise. You don't take half measures. And once the Philistines saw that Goliath was dead, they fled. And the demons hanging around, when they see what you have done, when they see you have totally destroyed the enemy, they will run. Anything you want to do, start it off, finish it. If there's any sin you are struggling with, make sure you are not just, you know, accommodating it. Let's take example. If you have a problem with drinking, and you are saying, oh no, I won't drink again, but I'll still keep a bar. Do the best to cut it off completely. You are in a wrong relationship that is leading you into sin. Cut it off. Cut it off completely. Don't say, I will do this, I will not do this, I will do this, I will not do this. You may not be able to do it. Cut it off. And I want to end with this. Little is much in the hands of God. David was a small man. But that did not make him not to defeat Goliath. David went out there with his sling and stones, but yet God gave him victory. I believe what God is teaching us today, don't wait to become a millionaire before you can do anything for God. Little is much when God is in it. If you doubt me, read John chapter 6 from 5 to 13. The little boy only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yet when he gave it to Jesus, it multiplied. It fed the multitude. And they had more left over. What they had left over was more than what they started with. If you don't learn anything tonight, learn that little is much when God is in it. When you invite God into your small project, He knows how to multiply it. God can do great things with small things. I remember when we were in Israel, we went to the particular mount where there was the feeding, where Jesus did the feeding of the multitude. You know, most of those points, they'll build churches on them. And we entered into that church and prayed. And we are tapping into this miracle. We are asking God, You are the God that multiplies. We want this anointing of multiplication, that whatever thing we touch will begin to multiply. We don't really have much time to read this whole thing. John 6, 5 to 13. Let me just summarize it. Do you know that when they brought the 5 loaves and 2 fish, that it was not multiplying? It was not. The first thing Jesus said to the people was to sit down. And many people on this line would not have obeyed. You would have asked him, what am I sitting down for? Those 2 small fish, that's why I have to go and sit down. But the word of God said, they obeyed. They sat down in companies of 50s. Jesus blessed the food. Yet it did not multiply. They asked his disciples to begin to share. Then the miracle started. As they were breaking it, it was growing. As they were breaking the loaves, it was growing. Breaking the fish, it was growing. Could you imagine that? What does that show you? That if you hold on to what you have, that is what it will be. But when you begin to share, when you begin to break it off, that's when it will begin to grow. Little is much when God is in it. And finally, when they finished eating, they picked up 12 baskets. You know, I've asked this question every time, and people will always fail it. What do you think they did with the 12 baskets they picked up? Somebody once told me there are 12 disciples, each one carried one. No! You cannot reap where you did not sow. I truly believe that the boy that brought his food, that the disciples carried the baskets and followed him to his house. Because when you sow, that's when you reap.
Amen.
They carried the baskets and they walked behind him. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I need to stop. So did anybody learn anything tonight? Share with us before we pray.
We have been blessed tonight. I know I have been blessed. One of the things that stood out is that beware of who you are listening to. if someone is advising you on how you are going to serve God or minister or whatever, and yet there is no victory of such in their lives, why should I follow an example of something that has not even happened to their life? It's not that I will not listen to someone unless I see that they are operating in miracles or whatever, but this just goes deep. Someone cannot really tell you something that they don't have. They can't give you what they don't have. And I need to find out what God wants me to do and stick with it, regardless of what anybody else thinks. But one of the major things is that David was already operating under the anointing of the king. Even though those around him did not know it, it didn't stop him. It didn't matter. He went ahead and did what God has told him to do. He did not stop. And in the end, it was him who was the anointed king that took care of the problem and not the one who was appointed. The important
Hallelujah.
Thing is to see that if God has asked me to do something, it doesn't matter what people see or don't see or how else it looks. If he has anointed me for a service, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to wait for who has been appointed. God's anointing is more important than man's appointment. Thank you.
Whoa! Doesn't that mean that I'm not waiting until they make me a bishop? I will not wait until they make me a deacon. I will not wait until they tell me I'm a deaconess. I will not wait until they call me a Sunday school teacher. I shouldn't wait until they give me a title. If God has anointed me as he told me tonight, and he's asking me to do something in the church of God, do not wait until they give you a title. You are already anointed. Begin to operate in the anointing that God has given you. Praise God. Praise God. Any other person learned something tonight?
Yes.
Go ahead.
It is obedience brings God's word. If we obey God, he will show his power to us. When he told them, do this, they did. Do it the other way they did. And miracles started. So let me obey God in all angle in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you. Obedience will always breed success. David knew exactly what God wanted him to do, and he went for it. He didn't want to please any man. He wasn't a man pleaser. He would have been wearing the ammunition he couldn't even walk in if he was a man pleaser. He was obedient to God, and we can see his success. Praise
yes.
God. Let's hear more people speak.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wow. This, I'm with Sister Joy. This was powerful. But one of the things that stood out for me is where you said that if we, when just as the Philistines flee, they fled when David did what he did, so the enemy will flee from us if we continue to stay in God's word. If we continue to pursue the blessings of God, we'll defeat the enemy. And I really got that. And also that when you hold on to what you have, that is what it will always be.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that I have seen that. I have seen that work. And I think one of the things that always ministered to me was when I was growing up, my mom had 10 kids. And that's a lot of mouths to feed. But my mom never missed a day when she did not tithe. She never missed a day when she did not give us something to take over to somebody else. And we always looked at it like, with all of us to feed, how can you be, you know, sending this over there and sending this over there? But she was always giving us something to take somewhere. And you know what? We never lacked.
Praise God.
We never lacked. And you know, and I'm with you in believing that they took all those baskets to that boy's house. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise Amen. God. Praise God. Remember what we talked about? Little is much when God is in it. When the laws were being broken, that was when it grew. Praise God. Any other person?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, this is Sister John. What I got from this lesson is, whose report are you going to believe? There are some times the Lord will put something in you to do. Then people are essentially up and down. They will tell you you can't do it. They will try to be a blockage. Their mouth will be wagging. If you know it is God, just stand still. Because years to come, they will turn back and say, oops, we are wrong. God is looking for proof producers to prove people wrong. You have been where you are because you are trying to please everybody and do what they want. But if you stand still, except God did not tell people, if God did not call you, entering a dangerous mission field. But if God called you, he will back you up. They may take you, they may look at you and say, you are short, you are ugly. Some people will give you time limit when you will fail. But if it is God, you will be like a David. You will end up getting the crown and they will be watching you. And they will be calling you king. And they will be calling you queen because you stood on your ground. You did not let them change you, who you are or what God has said about you. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We very much agree with you that when God gives you a vision, he'll give you the provision. If you take this lesson last from last week, nobody believed David. They looked at him. Is it his size or is it his age? What will make you think that this small boy is going to meet this giant? He tried to convince them. Listen, I have done this. I've done this. I've done this. They said, okay, now it's time to go. But yet, they felt they could clothe him without knowing that he was already clothed. Whatever God has called you to do, go for it.
Amen.
That same God that called you will accomplish it through you.
Amen.
And if you think that people will not talk, they will talk. That's why we were giving some nuggets about critics. They will. They'll criticize you. They will say stuff. But just stick with what is right.
Amen.
Praise
God.
We'll take the last one and then we'll pray. Somebody wants to contribute?
My lesson there is about focus. Because David, the brothers, they started telling him, why do you come here? What do you want to do? But David had focus on God and the determination that this man, he must disappoint him today because he's so show off or proud or that he has something. But even though David have nothing, but he had the word of God and he had the strong faith that the God he serves will make this man today to die. And David, with the focus and the attention and the faith he has in God, he helped him and then he won the war. Because whatever we are doing, as long as we have the strong faith in God, focus, whatever we are doing without turning back, whatever people will say, God must surely give us victory. Praise
yes.
God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shall we pray?
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
That you gave us the opportunity to learn from the life of David. Lord, there's so much to glean from the life of this man.
Yes.
Father, we thank you because we've seen his failures, we've seen his mistakes. And yet, he was able to make it up with you, Lord.
Yes.
Father, I want to thank you. But we've learned so much tonight.
Yes.
It's not about our size. It's not about what we have. It's about in whom we have put our faith and our trust. And if you redeemed Israel through a young man that had no ammunition, we want to believe you are going to redeem even our generation through us. We want to believe that there are families that you are going to redeem through the people on this tribe. Father, we thank you that will be so close to your heart that we will hear from you. Know what you want us to do, and we will do it.
Amen.
Lord, we just don't want to be hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Father, help us to apply what you are teaching us.
Amen.
Father, help us to walk in high places. Thank you, because we are kings and we are priests. And nobody can change it. We are children of covenant. We are anointed by the Most High God. Nobody can change it. You said that those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Father, help us to be strong in you and do exploits. Thank you for hearing our prayers tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, we have
Amen.
Prayed.
Amen.
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 Have a good night. God bless you.